In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, it says that it happened while Jesus was praying in a certain place after he had finished. One of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples." Prayer is not something that just comes natural. There is a structure to prayer. When we pray, it's not, I mean, you can pray like that. You can just let whatever's on your mind. But Jesus actually gave a pattern of prayer which we could follow, which gives you the most bang for the moments that you're praying. And he would go on to teach these Christians in what we call the Lord's Prayer. And from this, we'll turn our focus to Matthew chapter 6, 5 through 15. He will deal with three items of prayer. And this is the passage that was read. We all know it. I think it's worthy to say again. "And when you pray, do not be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners in order that they may be seen of men. Truly I say unto you that they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who is in secret will repay you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition, as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you have need of before you ask him." We're going to cover three categories in two lessons. First is the problems of prayer. There's two primary problems that if you don't guard against, it's going to hinder your prayer life. Number two, the pattern of prayer. We'll cover the first section of that. And then 2 weeks from now, we're going to cover the precaution of prayer. And so let's cover the problems of prayer as mentioned in Matthew chapter 6, 5 through 8. There are two major problems of prayer according to Jesus. Here they are. And if you're following along in your bulletin, you can fill it in. Praying to impress men and praying to impress God. Praying to impress men and praying to impress God. First of all, praying to impress men. In Jesus' day, there were two market days where all the country folks would come into Jerusalem to do their trading. And it was also during those busy times that the Jews had daily calls for prayer. And it was so convenient, and it just so happened that the Pharisees would kind of time where they would be at that moment of prayer. They were never at home. They would always be at the busiest corners of the city. And all of a sudden, they'd have a big call to prayer. And these Pharisees would stand up and start praying out loud. Rehearsed prayers that they had. And so they do it so that the people, the common folk, would say, "Oh man, these Pharisees got their act together. Look at how they pray. Man, they must be really close to God. You're awesome, Pharisees." Well, Jesus had something to say about that. He said that if that is how you pray, that you're trying to impress men, you have your reward because you're getting nothing from God. God's not obligated to that type of prayer. If you sought the praise of men, you got the praise of men. Leave me out of your prayer, God says. But then that second thing, praying to impress God, particularly the Gentile converts, they brought with them practices from their heathen days. They'd use vain repetition. There was power in magic. And with magic, if you just repeated something often enough and long enough, like the Baal worshippers in the book of 1 Kings, where they cry out loud for hour after hour after hour, they believed that you could control the gods. And by doing so, the gods were busy. And if you were praying and at the wrong time, maybe God was doing something, they didn't hear you. And maybe over here. So they kept seeing the same thing over and again, over and over again. You got to get God during those non-busy times, because God is somewhat aloof. That was their perception of the Greek gods. Well, when these Greeks would convert over to Judaism, that didn't mean they left their old practices out. And so you would have these people oftentimes just repeating the same thing over and over again. And we could be guilty of that too. I've actually seen congregations where they just repeat things over again. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. That isn't what God wants in our prayer. He doesn't want Hail Mary, full of grace, blessed art thou among women. He doesn't want those idle prayers. I mean, God is a real person. We are real people. We don't talk to people like that, do we? Do we go up and say, how are you doing today? Do we talk like coneheads? No, we don't do that. We have normal conversations. We're not like, take me to your leader. How are you doing, brother? I am doing fine. Would you like to eat mass quantities? You know, we don't sound like that. Why do we sound like that to God? God doesn't want your pattern to be the only prayer that you offer. The pattern is the pattern that you follow. Okay? If you go to make a dress after a pattern, you adjust it to fit you. And your prayer, you have to do that as well. If you're going to offer vain repetitions, then don't expect God. I mean, here's how you beat that problem. Here's the application. That we are to strive to have, to avoid having problems in our prayer life. We seek to spend time alone with God every day in our prayer. If the only prayer you said all week was the one you led in the worship service, then I'd suggest you don't volunteer for that position. And the second thing is, always keep in mind that God knows what we have need of before we ask Him. That if you get on your knees at 7 o'clock to pray for a need that came up at 6 o'clock, God knew at 5 o'clock what was happening already. And that removes all that equation at that point. If you remember those two things, I'm going to spend time alone with God in prayer where it's just me and God. And number two, that I'm not going to try to impress God. God knows who I am. I'm going to talk to God just like I would with reverence to another human being. That I'm addressing God as God, but I'm not going to use vain repetition. He already knows what I have need of. By the way, prayer isn't for God. It's for us. Prayer isn't for God. God has never, ever said, when we're praying, He doesn't pull out His iPhone and say, well, I didn't know that. Let me see. Is there a note here about that? No, He already knows. So don't let those two problems rob us of the joy that we're to have in prayer. But then we get to the pattern of prayer. In Matthew 6, 9 through 13, pray then in this way. It's the word tupos, after this pattern. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and glory forever. Amen. It's a pattern. Great. You have the pattern memorized. It should be easy to follow that. Okay? It's not something we need to be saying as our prayer. So let's look at it. The pattern is divided into four primary parts. We're going to cover one of those this morning. First is the preparation. That's what we're going to cover. You have the program of prayer, the provision of prayer, and then you have the purpose of prayer. Naturally, we'll cover them in that order. We're going to cover one this morning. Next week, we'll cover the remaining three and then the last section of it. The preparation. The preparation. Our Father. He's our Father. We have to address Him in the communal relationship that God has with us. He's our Father. That means we're His children.
Yes, sir.
Okay? That is the relationship He desires with each and every one of us. He's not some ogre up on a cloud with a lightning bolt waiting to smack you. He is someone who loves you like a child.
Yes, sir.
That's special. Do you love your children? Yes. Raise your hand if you hate your child. You want to see somebody turn on you? Go ahead. Raise your hand, everybody, who hates their children. Nobody? Well, then we should feel endeared when we address Him as our Father. So we're like, Darren was saying. There's one term that's even more special than that. Abba, Father. Abba is Dada.
Yes, sir.
When a little child says Dada that first time, don't you feel special?
Oh, yeah.
That's a really special thing.
Yes.
He's our Father. John chapter 1 verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. That's us. We're the children of God. I mean, we got a father we could brag about. I mean, you always hear about kids bragging about their fathers. Nobody could outbrag us. We got a father who's awesome. 1 John 3 verse 1. See how great a love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. That's a powerful statement. We need to be addressing him as Father. God, I thank you that you're my Father. I'm your child. God, now notice this is how it's starting out. See, this is preparation. Because if you don't do the preparation right, then the rest of the prayer kind of falls flat. But he's also heavenly. Our Father who art in heaven. We have to address God, our Father, of possessing a heavenly perspective. He's not rattled by the things on the earth. Not at all. They don't affect him. Zero. He has a heavenly perspective. His eyes are not hindered from seeing all that we do. He's in heaven. Proverbs 5:21, the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord. He pondereth all of his goings. How did he say, look, he's not, walls don't keep him out. He has a heavenly perspective. Hebrews 4:13, there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him to whom we have to do. God, I recognize you as my Father. I'm your son. And I thank you, God, you're in heaven. I thank you, you're not in this horrible place, this temporary place. I thank you, Lord, that doesn't matter who gets elected as president. It doesn't knock you from your throne in heaven. You're always on the throne, God. I read it in Revelation chapter 4. Revelation 4 verse 8. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. Psalm 99 verse 5. Exalt the Lord your God and worship at his footstool. Holy is he. He's set apart. He is. And he is hallowed. Hallowed. The term that God has here is that he's set apart. He's special. He's special. He's sanctified. He deserves first place in every priority list that we have. Number one, first place. We fully recognize him as the center of our universe before we can have a proper preparation of prayer. We don't address him. We don't have him prioritized in such a way that he's first going into that prayer. Prayer's not going to work. It simply is not going to work the same. To hallow his name is to recognize his intrinsic qualities. Qualities that we don't have, but that he does. We just look at some of those names from the Old Testament. We can see some of those qualities. And I have quite a list of them this morning. Not even all of them. We'll see those abilities come alive in just the names that are used to describe God. Here are just a few of them and how we can use these names to hallow his name. Okay? Here's one, Elohim. Means the Almighty God who keeps his promises. The Almighty, Lord, recognize this about God. Lord, I know you're a great keeper of the promises, God. I know when you make a promise to your people, you keep it. And I want you to know that I know that that's you. Here's another name that we have. El means authority, strength, and majesty. God, you're the one with all the strength and the majesty of the universe. God, you are worthy to be praised. You're the one God. You're El. But you're El Ra. You're the God who sees thee. Father, I want to acknowledge that nobody's hidden from your sight. You're the all-seeing God. Lord, I can't be fake in front of you. You know my thoughts. You know my intentions. You know everything about me. So I'm going to be open and honest with you because you can tell when I'm not. And God, you're El Shaddai. You're the Lord who supplies, nourishes, and satisfies. Lord, you're the one who provides for my needs. Lord, you're the one who nourishes in my moments of weakness. Lord, if it isn't for you, I'd have nothing. But you provide, Lord. You're Adonai. You're my master. You're my Lord. God, I fully recognize you as my master. You're the master and I am the slave. I follow you, not the other way around. And God, you're Jehovah. You're the self-existent one. Lord, you answer to nobody because you've always been. You're the great I am, God, and I recognize you as that. You're also Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide, Abraham said. Lord, I might not know where the next meal is coming from, but you do. I might not know how the next bill will be paid, but you do. I'm not going to let those things knock me off my position because I know you always provide, God. And I know you're Jehovah Tsidkenu. You're righteous. Lord, you're always right. I'm always wrong, God. I'm going to follow you. And Lord, I know that you're Jehovah Kaddish. You're the Lord who sanctifies. You make me special, God, because you're special and your son's special. There's nothing special about me other than the fact that I'm your child. And Lord, you're Jehovah Shalom. You're the peace. Lord, this world is chaotic that I live in. But you give me peace, God. You're able to bring calm to the storm when peace like a river attendeth thy way and sorrows like sea billows roll. Whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. God, you're Jehovah Shalom. And you're Jehovah Rohi. You're my shepherd. God, I recognize that I'm a stupid sheep. And I'm so happy you're my shepherd, God. And not only that, you're Jehovah Nissa. You're my banner. God, you're the one that I could boldly proclaim and hold out to the world. He's my father. God, you're awesome. And you're Jehovah Rapha. The Lord heals. Father, I acknowledge to you that you're the one that's able to heal me from that which plagues this body of my humble state. God, you are the great physician, not those doctors I'm going to. You're the great physician. You gave them the information. You let them know what's going on. God, I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to be like Asa. I'm going to trust you. And you're Jehovah Kana. You're a jealous God. Lord, you're a very jealous God. And you want me to be, the center of my life. You do not want me to put anyone or anything ahead of you because you're Jehovah Kana. Now, I'm in no way of saying that you have to know the definition of these words, but what you do have to know is you have to be in His Word. Yes. You see these qualities. You don't have. I'm just giving you some examples of names. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your qualities, God. That's what's in the name. We have to know this by reading His Word. And it's not the length of the hallowing, but it's the understanding and appreciation of the reiteration of your appreciation for the sanctification of God. Your special God. I just want you to know that. Start out hallowing His name. Have His name set apart. As Martin Luther once said, the fewer the words, the better the prayer. To have prayed well is to have studied well. If you study well, you can hallow His name. Now God doesn't want the quantity, but He does want the quality. We must seek to hallow the Father in our prayers. And this same applies to our communications about His Son Jesus. The scripture says in Philippians 2 verse 9 through 11, therefore God highly exalted Him and bestowed upon Him the name which is above every name that hath been named, that the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. You know, when you think about that, He has a name that's above every other name. By hallowing the Son in whom God is well pleased, Mark chapter 1 verse 11, we can continue hallowing God. Jesus said, if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. He's God in the flesh. Here are some qualities of Jesus' name. So if you run out of stuff to hallow God about, just turn to His Son. You'll get plenty more. Let's look at some of those. And you know what I want to do? I want to close this part this morning in just this first part of prayer. Let's hallow Jesus' name in a prayer. And I'm going to use just some of these names we have of Jesus to do that very thing. Close your eyes as we pray at this time, and I want you to tell me what you feel like when you wake up. Jesus, we want to recognize you as the Son, the only begotten Son of the Father. And God, we can hallow you through your Son. Lord, we're told in the Scriptures that Jesus is our advocate. He's there. He's our lawyer. 1 John 2 verse 1. He's there to plead our case. He's the Almighty of Revelation 1 8. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last in the book of Revelation. He's your great Amen of Revelation 3 14. He's the apostle of our confession. Hebrews 3 1. He's the atoning sacrifice for our sins. He's the author of life, our faith, and our salvation, according to Acts and Hebrews. Lord, we want to recognize that our Savior Jesus that you sent into this world, he's the blessed and only ruler, 1 Timothy 6:15. He's the bread of God and the bread of life, John 6:33. He's our capstone, our chief cornerstone, our living stone. He's our chief shepherd. God, we want to thank you for your Son Jesus, our Creator and Deliverer. He's eternal life and the living one. He's a faithful and true witness, the firstborn from the dead. He's our good shepherd, and he's our great shepherd. He's the head of the church and the heir of all things. He's the Holy One, God. We recognize that. We recognize that Jesus is our hope of glory. He's our horn of salvation. He's the very image of you. He's our King Eternal, King of Israel, King of the Jews. He's the King of kings and the King of all ages. He's the Lamb of God without blemish, but he's also the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Lord, I want to thank you that Jesus is Lord of all. He's the Lord of glory. He's the Lord of lords. He's the man from heaven and our mediator. He's the mighty God. He's our bright morning star for those times where we can't see. He's the light of the world. He's your only begotten Son. He's our great God and our Savior. He's our holiness. He's our husband, protection, and redemption. God, we want to thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross. He truly is our everything. And Lord, we want to hallow your name. We want to hallow the name of your Son. Because your Son, we can learn so much about you. Lord, teach us to begin all of our prayers by hallowing, setting apart your name. And through your Son's holy name, we offer this prayer. Amen. We begin our prayer with great preparation unto God. Then the rest of our efforts will flow much easier. It's necessary to point out that the worldly man usually prays, "Dear God, I need this." According to the pattern, that doesn't come first. That comes down the line. By placing our big need that we have, think about that. A lot of times we have some big needs that come up. They're huge, man. They're taking us over. By the time you're done hallowing God's name, putting that great big need on the backdrop of an awesome and mighty creator of the universe, our need is teeny, teeny, tiny. That's the best way to struggle with the big problems. Is to just drop your huge needs on the backdrop of a mighty God and watch how much better you feel going into those needs. Here's the application from the lesson today. In part two of this topic, we're going to cover the rest of the pattern and the precaution of prayer. But it's with what we covered this morning is the application. Make it a point to begin your prayers with a prepared heart. Recognize Him as Father. Spend about 10 minutes or more before you pray in your prayer by recognizing God as Father, that unique relationship, holding the perspective that He is in heaven, and hallowing His name till you can feel that awesome just drip off you. Together, let us be a more prepared people, a prayerful people who are ready to soar for the kingdom of God. And so please do that. Just make a commitment to hallow God's name. Set him apart before you even get to any of the other stuff. If you do that, you'll be on cruise control. It's hard to do, but it's not if you practice. So if you're not a child of God, that's the best thing you can do, to know that God hears and is obligated to your prayers. God hears all prayers. But are you obligated to everybody else's children? Are you? Maybe a little bit. If you see one run out in the road, you might help. But who provides the food? Who provides their care? You do as parents. If you're not a child of God, become one. And then you know your prayers are not auditing salvation. If you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he died on the cross, buried, and was resurrected on that third day, and carrying with him the promise of eternal life. If you truly believe that, and you know you're a sinner, and you want to put those sins away, you want to repent of those sins, we offer the waters of covenant up here today. Follow what Jesus said, not what man said. Follow what Peter taught at Pentecost. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Get that answer of a good conscience toward God. Plug into God in a way of salvation. And listen to the angels of heaven rejoice as your saved, sanctified prayer life begins. Don't cheat yourself any longer. If you know to do good, then come forward and be baptized this morning. Think about that.